Welcome from upstate New York, Jim Crowley, the head coach at St. Bonaventure. We like to call you St. Bonnie. Jim, this is your second stint on your tour of duty at St. Bonnie's in running the women's basketball program, and we are so glad to have you on Nothing But Net. Thank you for being with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
So is it fair to say that you won the upstate in New York this year? Because your schedule, you beat everybody. Maybe Albany, not the only team that you didn't beat, but you beat everyone else up there.
Yeah, well, we did have a good run and got a lot of people at the right time. But yeah, and Colleen does a great job at Albany. We tend to call that the Capital District, so we could still say we're upstate. But proud of our group. Obviously, it's been a slower climb than any competitive coach would like, but this group has really embraced who we are, and we got a lot of upstate kids, so it matters even more to them, and so far so good.
When you are looking at your roster, you do have a lot of players from New York area, the upper part of the country, if you will, the Northeast. I guess it would be kind of tough to get some Southern recruits. Once you get them on campus, though, I bet they probably would see what you see. And what do you see about your culture and your identity that your kids know that they need to know who they are?
Yeah, and that's a really important part of what we do. And we are fortunate. We do have a California girl on our team who is in – it's been a good winter so far. I mean, it started Thanksgiving time and it's still snowing, but she's embraced that. For us, we are a smaller school, and we're not in a busy area. I mean, it is who we are, and there's no hiding here. You're going to interact with your teammates. You're going to interact with the whole campus. You're going to interact with the whole community. That's just what it is. And we love it, and we think it's a great thing, but it's not for everybody. And if it's not for you, then it's a really hard place. And we felt with a lot of the upstate kids, they understood what we were about. And there wasn't a real learning curve with them. And even some of the Northeast kids, as much as we're Western New York, we're probably more Midwest than we are. Well, we're definitely more Midwest than we are East Coast. And so, I'm fortunate my staff really understands that and does a great job of identifying talented kids who will fit that. And, you know, I think anywhere, but I think particularly small schools and even in the more so in the landscape now, like the more you fit and the better comfort level you have as a kid and as a student, the more you can kind of get out of yourself as an athlete and the more comfortable you are. And so we're fortunate that our group, at least so far, has been feeling that.
I often think sometimes culture and identity can be cliches in our game. I don't think everyone always knows exactly what they need, but you do have a certain fit that does apply to going to school in a wintry, snowy place. There are a lot of benefits to it. If you like the winter sports aspect of it, what are some of the things, like, do you ski, snowboard? Do you hit the lodge once in a while? What's going on up there?
I'm probably more a lodge guy than the skier snowboard.
Me too. I'd be in the lodge.
You know, I'm pretty comfortable around a fire and a bar. But, for the one thing I think that's important, because you're right, culture, it's used a lot because it's so important. But I think the hardest thing that we as coaches miss out on is we got to know what it is. We got to really identify what culture fits us and fits our university. And fortunately I have experience here, so that helps, but I think it helps us get kids. But you know, the thing about here is, like, you've got to love ball here. Like, it's there's not other things to do. I mean, certainly there's a college nightlife, and there's, you know, I mean, college kids know how to find fun anywhere,
right?
But our gym is accessible 24 hours a day. We you know, the events are the basketball games and the sporting events, and people in the community know who you are about basketball. So we tend to have a lot of success with people who really are basketball people. And you think, everybody's got to be a basketball person if they play college basketball. And you know, that's not the case.
That's not true.
And so, you know, we get people who want to be coaches. We get people who want to, you know, learn more about plays, and you know, those are the folks that we have identified fit really well here.
It really streamlines your focus, and that's why you got to find the right people that fit. And you certainly know what it looks like, Jim. I mean, three times you've been A-10 Coach of the Year in this league. You've taken teams to the NCAA tournament. You're quickly approaching 400 wins in your career, a lot of them at St. Bonaventure. What's next? Like, what's next with your group?
Consistency, you know, and that's the phrase we use a lot. Like, we're not chasing perfection. We're chasing consistency. And I'm sure I stole that from somebody. But that's, and that's a hard thing. Anytime it's harder when, you know, there's more of an influx of people and, you know, the consistency may not mean, you know, 15 points a game. It may mean being a great screener. It may mean being a great off ball defender. And, you know, again, take special kids to kind of embrace that. But that's, you know, we were really proud in the past of the consistency of our program in all aspects of our competitiveness, of our academics, mm-hmm. of our, the way we behave socially. And, you know, we've found two of those three. Now we've got to, find it on the competitive side. And, we've been responding pretty well, but, you know, we just want to continue to find the consistency.
So we were talking to another coach in the A-10 and this coach is pretty much, said that, you know, we're probably not an at-large team this year. We weren't expecting that we might be. We have a rebuild to go through, but there are three or four games in March that we are planning and preparing to win. Now, I'm not saying that you're not an at-large or anything like that, but there is a mindset that comes with those in the middle part of the A-10 that have to be thinking about the grind, the climb, what you need to prep. And you know what that looks like because you've done it before.
Yeah, and I think you just try to be truthful with your team and yourself about your team. And if you're shooting for something that might not be realistic, then just human nature, you're going to portray that to the team if it doesn't happen. You know, obviously at-large bids are even more challenging now with the non-power fours, but they're reasonable. Richmond did it from our league last year and had a great showing. But I think for me and for us, you know, does our product look better in March than it did in December and January? And if that's the case, then we're doing all right. We're heading in the right direction. And does that mean, you know, two wins in the conference tournament, one, three,
right.
You know, all of those things, you know, if we're getting better on a daily basis, which we feel we are at this point, then those other things kind of take care of themselves.
When you're in the grind in the weeds every day, right? Repetition on different fundamentals, repetition on certain concepts, yet you also have to have a wider vision about what all that might lead to with your team. It couldn't be defined inside 40 minutes. It could be defined, like you just said, moving towards March. How do you keep that balance yourself between the day-to-day in the weeds grind of every single rep and then having the greater vision to know what it's all leading to?
Yeah, that's a great question because I think a lot of, like, you've got to be singular, have singular vision as a coach, but that vision has to expand at times. It can't just be, you know, we play Joe's Wednesday and we've got to be ready for Joe's, absolutely, without question. But there's also things as the leader of the program that I have to be ready for our next trip. And I have to make sure that certain things are being done with my staff, with recruiting, with all that. So you gotta be able to really compartmentalize when you're in practice. This is just about Joe's. This is about us. This is about us getting better. But also make sure you're organized with the time for the other things. And the other things are, there's more and more of them every day. And if you're not organized with those, and it takes away from your preparation. And I think all of us as coaches love the preparation. That's the fun part, getting your team ready for that next game, trying to find the thing that's going to work or the thing that you can take advantage of or fits. But to do that, you've got to really make sure that moment is that moment and that you're also still giving your kids the time they deserve.
That's my favorite part too, the grind, practice, you know, prep, watching film, trying to find, going into synergy and trying not to go down that rabbit hole of, you know, I'm looking for this thing on one particular team. And then all of a sudden I'm way over here on this because it's interesting. Like, you can get easily distracted. Don't let anybody sleep on your quiet demeanor and your personality, Jim, because you've been a former National Coach of the Year as well. ESPN.com named you that in 2012. When you were having incredible success at St. Bonnie. when you're looking for the leadership qualities that you need in your staff, what are some of the things that you find most important when you're trying to put your group together? Like if I was a young coach out there trying to put a staff together, what would be some ingredients I absolutely have to have?
Yeah, another great question. And that to me is the thing that's really hard for people who take their first step, who go from being assistant to a head coach. I always talk to my people. I'm like, who want to be a head coach? Who's your staff? Why? What are you ready for? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Why do you see that person fitting for you? I'm probably a bit different. I know some people are like, well, I need a recruiter. I need this. I need someone who is a really good person and who works really hard and who basketball is really important to them. But to your point, the grind is important to them. The teaching is important to them. I think all the other stuff can, especially at our place, we're not tracking down 5 stars and out battling someone. We've got to get people who fit. So we've got to get coaches who fit here and fit me. And, so that's why I end up hiring a lot of former players, 'cause I know their work ethic. I know their personalities. Those are the two things that hit me really hard. Like, is this someone who is really good human being, but also someone who really works? And, I'm sure the recruiting events to me are a great time to find staff members or to see people, because who's working, who's looking at their phone, who's watching the 8:30 game in the morning and at the 10 o'clock game at night, who's sitting by themselves and not just, BSing with whoever's around them. And again, it's a long day, whatever, but you see some of those folks and it's pretty consistent. Those are the ones that you end up seeing moving up the ladder. I remember, and I still call her Shauna Green, but I remember watching Shauna when she was young and coming up and being like, ooh, she works, man. She works. And, obviously she has all the other qualities too, but there's a number of those you could see. And Shauna has upstate roots playing at Canisius. So it's a little, biased that way, but, I think that's been as you go from the young guy to the old guy, that's the fun part about watching folks and seeing, pretty consistent. Yeah. If they're good folks and they grind, they're going to get their opportunity.
Shauna Green, somebody we should absolutely get on our podcast, Nothing But Net. But I also remember Shauna Green playing in our event at Florida Gulf Coast, which is now Coconut Hoops, and going 0-3 in the event and then winning the A-10 because she was at Dayton at the time before she took the Illinois job. What a great example of what you're talking about. The way you defined that question is exactly how I think you see St. Bonaventure, right? It's got to be the right fit, people that understand, they want to work hard, that are going to be really good people. I think to me that's no other way would you want to be around anything else than that when you're working in an environment that it requires so much time together as a staff and forming your team. I want to ask you just one more thing, and that is about buy-in. You're talking about the fit, the culture, and then you get these players that hopefully are familiar with what Western New York is and all the things that come with it, including the weather. And most of the people on your staff and most of the people on your team do know when they get there. What do you think when you have a group that has some like-mindedness about a team, how do you get that ultimate buy-in? Like, what are the qualities that you think that you need to be teaching, preaching, or sharing with your group every day?
Yeah. And, last spring? Yeah. Or was it about this time, a little later in this time, one of the professors on campus had asked me to, we have a great JMC school here, and they had asked me to just kind of come in and do a press conference, just let them ask questions. And one of the questions that came from a cross country runner here said, "Coach, what's more important, talent or buy-in?" And Debbie, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And you think, well, I've been coaching 30 years, that should be an easy answer. And I was like, I've gone away from it. I've gone away from buy-in. I've gone away from that has to be it. And I bring that up because what you said, what are you saying every day? What are you emphasizing every day? And since then, and then doing some self-evaluation and thinking like, okay, every day we've got to talk about who we are, and we've got to make sure that's defined, and we can't back off that. Even if I've got another six things on the practice plan, if we've gotten away from, mm-hmm. you know, what we do defensively, or we've gotten away from the pace and effort level we need, we got to go back to it. And it's made me feel a lot better. I think it's helped our team, but that's to me the buy-in. What is it? What are those three things? And, you know, again, we can talk about all the different things that have changed in our profession, but at the end of the day, it's getting in the gym and it's practice and it's making sure they know what matters to us, and then rewarding that and criticizing that and holding that accountable. That it sounds so easy. But the repetition of it, right? The discipline of simplicity is the hardest thing. And I think, you know, that, and again, I don't see it every day, but what Cignetti is doing at Indiana, he must be awesome at that. He must just be awesome at that. Obviously, Saban, you think of that. We're Bills fans up here, and that's
Sean McDermott. Congrats on the win. We are
flying high right now. but that's Sean McDermott's thing. Like, this is what we do, and we do it every day. I'm going to hold you accountable to it.
Yeah.
And then you, hopefully your people get you your people, and they start to do it more to each other. But it's really hard to do it all the time because there's so many other things coming at you, and that's the discipline of it.
Okay, so now you lead me to two other things, because I said that was going to be my last question, but yeah. I'm curious, right? This is how I learn. By having a chance to spend time with people that have done it for so long and always have good nuggets to share. The pregame prep. Okay. So before I get to the pregame prep, let me ask you about the cycle of the summer. I look at the game and I'm trying to keep it as simple as I can to deliver it on the air in teachable ways that make sense. I listen to Gary Danielson on CBS Calling Football, who just retired, because he's one of my favorite analysts to listen. Great. I listen to Chris Collinsworth because I hear him talking about concepts around football that aren't the same, but conceptually different things about, like last night he was talking about calling a timeout, allowing New England to change their defensive package because they substitute a receiver. So now you can sub on the other side. And I start thinking about situations in our game, and I go to shoot arounds. And when I go to shoot arounds, I don't necessarily think I'm going to shoot around for me. I should already have a good measure of my prep done. I should already have, you know, my boards ready, my film I've watched. But what I get from shoot around is your narrative. What are the three things that you work on first? Do you work on situations? Do you work on out of bounds plays, which everybody does? Do you work on passing? Whatever the first three things are that you do are usually going to lead me into asking you about why that's important for this particular matchup, because it's different at every shoot around. And then,
Go ahead.
And then the other thing is, in the locker room, after you've prepped on the floor, you've given them a scouting report in writing, they've watched film, they're over and over, What do you write on the board in the locker room right before you come out? Do you have 100 things written down? Do you have just matchups written down? Or do you have just like three important things?
So with shoot around, the first thing we always do is our press break. We don't want to give away. We don't want to have a team feel good about their pressure and give away scores there, because that's obviously a huge momentum shift. Then we just go through some easy scores for us. How can we get an easy score in transition? Then we always do operating off 2 feet and operating a two-man game in the mm-hmm. post. And, that could be game specific. Like, we're going to run this look to get it in. We're going to run this look off the bounce. Then we go all the way through, our looks offensively that we are going to run. And then we do our baseline out of bounds. Then we go through what we need to stop defensively. So that's the last thing. Then we usually give them 10 minutes to free shoot where I can connect with every kid. I can go and talk to every kid. And then usually it's a half court shot. And that's kind of the, you know, rhythm of our shoot. As far as pregame, I write all of the stuff 2 days out, at least 2 days out. when we have that. That stuff's on the board today for us to play Wednesday, and it's notes about every kid that you know our opponent has, and then it's three offensive, three defensive, and mm-hmm. three keys, and a lot of those are similar from game to game, or at least the wording of it is similar. We may add a nugget, but you know, and again, trying to get that buy-in that they understand. You know, we talked in our first meeting in the summer. Buy-in means we speak the same language, mm-hmm. and that's when we usually know we're doing all right. That in a huddle, they're saying the same things we would be saying. And this time of year, I'm trying to talk less. Where they, you know, hey, this isn't working. Get it together. Figure it out. And so we've been pleased to see kind of the communication of that. And that takes, again, like you sometimes if you have it work, you think, oh, it should keep working, but it takes a lot of extra time. Like you got to sit down with people. You got to bring groups of people in. You got to explain all that stuff on maybe some outside time, why we did this, follow-up conversations, sidebars. But that's kind of, that's our process of it is those things are covered. Usually the day before we do our, you know, some of our last second stuff, or if we're going to tweak a sideline play or, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to do some of that, but we're not hitting that as much in the shoot around.
Some of the best practices and voices in the gym I've ever heard are just the simple concepts of the game and simple ways to play. And then coaches that are able to tweak in game are the ones that are like you approaching 400 wins because you can't play the same way and you have to change the rhythm of the game. You can't play the same pace. You constantly got to be evolving over there on the sideline, which you continue to do, Jim. And I want to thank you so much for spending some time with us and breaking it down a little bit on what St. Bonaventure's got going on. It's been a real pleasure to spend some time with you.
Well, I truly appreciate you paying attention to us and bringing me on, and always enjoy our conversations, and always, you know, I remember in 12, you were really good to us, and I appreciate that. And, you know, we coaches have long memories for the good stuff too. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Jim. Jim Growley, the head coach at St. Bonaventure. Always a pleasure to have you on Nothing But Net.
Thanks, Debbie.